Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts will be the fifth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And we'll go to chapter 1, and I am going to read just a couple verses here this morning, starting with verse number 6. I love to hear those pages turning. Acts chapter 1. Verse 6, if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Verses 6 through 9 says this. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word that's here before us. That we can read it, that we can learn from it, but best of all, that we can be transformed by it, by the power of the Word of God. Father, as your representative here this morning, Father, I want to say what you have put on my heart to say, Lord. Nothing more and nothing less. So, Father, guide my words here this morning. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a sermon series on evangelism. I think I told you that back in one of the first weekends in April, I had a very nice 3.5-hour evangelistic encounter with my brother and his wife. And I thought, well, you know, I'll go preach about that next Sunday and that'll give me something to say. Well, that was a whole long time ago. And I still haven't got to that story yet, have I? Amen. But I will. I will. Trust me, I'll get there at some point in time. Maybe next week. Evangelism. Evangelism is the proclamation of biblical truth concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth will set you free. The truth will set a person free. We are free because we know and we understand the truth, the gospel message. The truth about Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's difficult for us to remember where we may have been at one time. If you're sitting in here this morning and you say, well, I know that I am saved. I know that I trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know that I will spend eternity in heaven. I have that assurance. Sometimes it's difficult to remember where we used to be. Remember the BC days, the before Christ days? You know, at one point in time, we were unsaved. Even though it's some of you might say, well, you know, Mike, I've been saved from as early as I can ever remember. And that may be true, and there might be some of you like me who come to Christ at a later date and time or later on in life. But at one point in time, be it for a short period of time or a very, very long period of time, we were unsaved. And during that time, we were all slaves to sin. Sin was our master. It is the human condition, by the way, that is what we do. We sin. Romans chapter 6 says that we were slaves to sin, but those who are in Christ are now slaves to righteousness. We are slaves to Christ. We are slaves to the truth. No longer are we bound in chains and those chains of sin that had us bound at one point in time, but we are now bound to Christ and we are at one with Him. We have been set free. We have been set free. That should, in itself, make us shout from the mountaintops, shouldn't it? I'm sure there are those moments where we have those reflective times where we can just bask in God's glory and just say, praise you, Lord, for taking me where I was and putting me on the rock of Jesus Christ. And you get caught up in these God moments and you just kind of get carried away in His presence. And I love it when that happens to me because it just feels like it's just me and God, and it almost makes me want to go to my knees, and I just get so thankful for what He's done in my life. And I certainly hope that you have those occasions also. Wouldn't we like everyone to experience that? That freedom that we have, that truth that we know and understand, that salvation that is a part of our lives. And that's what evangelism is all about. It's the proclamation of biblical truth to an unsaved world about the truth about Jesus Christ. As we have been set free, we should have that desire to want others to be set free also. I did hear a preacher say this: evangelism is like radio. If you listen to a radio, or the concept of radio is this: there could be a person or a group of people who sit behind a microphone, or it could be a recording of music. And that is broadcast out over the airwaves, and there are somebody or people on the other end listening to that conversation or that person's voice or that music. But not everybody has their radio turned on, and not everyone is listening to the same station. Evangelism could be the same thing. We proclaim the message, but sometimes we just never know who's tuning in. That shouldn't discourage us. This morning, this is probably more of a concluding statement than an opening statement, but I want us all to be encouragers. I want to encourage you to go on out there in the world and be an evangelist. And I don't know what that means in your life or your circle. As Martha Cooper tells me quite often, you just have to bloom where you're planted. That sounds like a Martha Cooper statement, doesn't it? Bloom where you're planted. How many talents has He given you? In the parable, it's anywhere from 1 to 5, but He's given us something that we can go out into this world and use. Are we using our talents? Are we encouragers? You know, Ariel came up here this morning and said that there's those scoffers and those skeptics about the rapture of the church, and it doesn't stop just with the rapture of the church. It's about what this whole book says. What do we do in their lives? Do we help them? Do we talk to them? Do we evangelize them? Do we use our talents to do what God has empowered us to do through the power of the Holy Spirit in us? Well, as I was thinking this week and asking the Lord how He wanted me to continue this, we have 8 fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin this morning of what to expect. So if I am going to go on out, let's assume for a second I'm going to buy into this evangelism thing. God, you can use me to go on out there and do what it is that you want me to do. What do we expect? What should we expect when we go out there? Now, I have good news for you this morning. There are 8 fill-in-the-blanks this morning, but we're not going to get through all of them, unless you want to be here till about 2 o'clock. You want to be here till 2 o'clock? No. Nobody gave me a Snickers, so we got to get out of here early today. So we'll go through as many as we can go through, probably half of them. What I'm going to do is this. We're going to start off with a statement that says this. We go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that, and then we'll go through our fill-in-the-blanks. So what I'm going to do is this. Each one of those fill-in-the-blanks has a scripture verse behind it. I'm going to read that scripture verse first, and then we'll fill in the blank accordingly. So the first one takes us to Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And this is a very, very common one, but we have to start somewhere. So we'll start right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll see what those two verses say, and then we'll fill in our blank accordingly. Verses 19 and 20 says this. Therefore, this is the words of Jesus, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Our first fill-in-the-blank in our bulletin would say this. We go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that it is a command. It is a command. It is not just my responsibility to evangelize the world. It is your responsibility also to evangelize the world. I think it was last week or the week before, I said, look at the person beside you, and I said, don't expect them to do anything. It's your job. Me, myself, I have to be the one who's going to go out there and do it. As in the words of Roger Browning, it's the Great Commission, it's not the Great Suggestion. It's not something that, oh, we might do if we feel like doing it. It's something that we are commanded to do. And I think one of the faults of the church, and I touched on this a little bit last week, is setting the bar and setting the standards of the expectations of the congregations way too low. Way too low. That this is all that is expected out of the people in the congregation. Well, if this was the level to which I preached, then I certainly couldn't expect anybody to be above what the expectations were. But my friends, I'm going to put the same expectations on you as I put on myself, as what the Word of God puts on all of us. Jesus puts very high expectations on all of us. And He says this, go on out into all the world. We read that verse and quite often we think this, well, that was just meant for the apostles and the disciples and the people of the early church. There's no doubt that they probably evangelized within Jerusalem. We do know that. We do know that they evangelized in Judea, so that takes it out a little bit further. And we do know that they evangelized in Samaria, which took it out even further than that. But I don't think that they had the time or even knew what the extent of the earth was going to be back in first century Judea. They never got to the places that we can get to. They didn't have the resources that we have. So when Jesus says, take the message into all the earth, guess who He's talking to? Let's everybody raise their hand. Who's He talking to? He's talking to us. He's talking to us. Go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus sets the bar very high. I set the bar very high on myself. But I think we got to get back to what Martha Cooper said. Bloom where you're planted. You have that circle of friends, family, co-workers, whoever, that you run into every day. Or maybe the places that the Lord takes you. Maybe you're at my favorite places, Lion and Walmart. You know, they're the only two stores that you ever need. If you can't get it at a food line, you'll find it at Walmart. But you'll always run into somebody that you can share the gospel with. So it is a command. It's not something that we just do, or I can't expect Cindy to do it, or Cindy can't expect Phil to do it, and Phil can't expect Romy to do it, and Romy doesn't expect me to do it. We all are in this together. So we go into our efforts knowing that it is a command. And if we keep that on the forefront of our mind, that this is what God expects us to do, then maybe we'll have a little more incentive to do it. So let me conclude that first fill in the blank with saying this. Not only does God's Word expect us to do it, but I'm going to put the challenge out there. Pastor Mike wants us all to do it too. How's that? Now, we have it in front of us. This is something that we need to do. We need to do this. I'm setting the bar high because Jesus did. Let's go to our next fill in the blank. And for that, we're going to go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. So I'm going to go there, read those verses, and then we'll fill in that fill in the blank. 1 Timothy chapter 2, starting with verse 1 through 4. So I'll read that, and then we'll see what God's Word says. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Our second fill in the blank would say this. We go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that we cannot make exceptions to who we witness to. We cannot make exceptions to who we witness to. Now let's just get back to this text here for a second. Let me just give you just a little bit of background. I know this book of 2 Timothy was actually the last book that Paul wrote, that the last epistle that we have here in God's Word. I'm thinking that 1 Timothy might have been sort of towards the end of his ministry also. At that time, the Christian church was under severe persecution. It certainly wasn't something that you wanted to publicly say because you would probably be publicly persecuted in some way. We'll get to that here a little bit later on. But did you ever hear of a Caesar or a king named Nero? And if you have ever heard of Nero, Nero might have been the emperor or the king of Rome at that time, whatever they called him, the Caesar, if my history is correct. I hope I'm not off very much there. He was a very evil man. He was putting Christians on poles, putting them up along the streets. I think he was putting tar on them and then lighting them. That's what he was doing to Christians. And Paul says this, that we need to pray for these people. We need to give intercession for these people. Let me rephrase it this way. We need to witness to these people. You know, we don't need to just witness to the person down the street that's probably going to be an easy target. We need to witness to the people who are going to be the tough targets. I could guarantee that if we put line 10 people up here, 10 people that you did not know, you could probably, because we are humans, and this is what humans do, we would look at all 10 of those people, and if the command was given, you need to evangelize to one of those people. We would pick and choose, wouldn't we? Would say, I think that person would be, what, an easy target? I think that person wouldn't give me a whole lot of grief. I think I could get through to her. I think I could talk easily with this guy over here. God's Word says this, we don't make exceptions to who we witness to. But we as humans, we do have our issues. I'll use that word. We do have our prejudices. We do have our bigotry. We do have those people who we just say, I'm just not going to witness to that person. And we would say that just because that's just what humans do. But God's word is very specific. It says that God wants all men to be saved, all in the sense of don't start picking and choosing who you want to witness to. He wants all men to be saved. And Paul was telling Timothy, now don't just start picking on these people or don't just witness to these people or these people over here. Timothy, you need to witness to everybody. To everybody. Have you ever had this thought go through your mind? You know what? I'm not going to witness to that person. Because I'd rather see them burn in hell than let them hear the truth of the gospel message. That's probably not a very good Christian attitude. But as I heard somebody say one time, we don't do well as humans. But I'd like to rephrase that a little bit. Actually, that is a very human characteristic, isn't it? I think we do very well as humans. We just don't do very well being Christ-like. That's where we fail. But we can't make exceptions. We can't make exceptions of who we want to witness to. Or do we say, well, I'm not going to witness to that person because he's black? I'm not going to witness to that person because he's Hispanic? I'm not going to witness to that person because he's a man or she's a woman and I just don't want to talk to that person or whatever the case may be. Do we let our prejudices and bigotry well up inside us that we fail to live up to the command where God says He wants all men to be saved? All men. You know, I gave a little exercise at my former church. I had a class that I was teaching, and we were teaching on stewardship. And I gave each one of those people in the class, there was probably about 10 or 12 of us, I gave them each a $10 Walmart card. And I said this, take this card and go to Walmart and give it to somebody. Just give it to somebody. Give it away. Just give it away. You got a month to do it, and when you come back, we want to hear your story of how easy or how difficult that may have been. It was interesting when that month was over, the stories that I heard. And did you know that we are so human that every one of these people sitting around this table said they gave the card to someone that looked like they deserved it. So we initially singled them out as being poor, being whatever. No one picked the nicely dressed woman. No one picked the man in the nice suit. No one picked the person that looks like they got their life together. They always picked somebody who they thought was unfortunate. You know, the person in the suit might be the person that's unfortunate. And not financially, but spiritually. God wants all men to be saved. So we can't make exceptions. So, it is a command. We can't make exceptions who we witness to. Let's go to the third fill in the blank, which we find our scripture from Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, 49 through 52. Actually, I'm going to start at 48 because I really like verse 48. 48 through 52 from Acts says this, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and honored the word of the Lord. And all who were appointed for eternal life believed. The word of the Lord spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Our third fill in the blank would say this. We go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that we may experience persecution to some degree. We may experience persecution to some degree. We see here where the Jews incited the God-fearing women and of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they kind of expelled Paul and Barnabas and probably some of the other religious disciples out of the city at that time. It was a form of persecution. But you may experience persecution if you witness to somebody. Do you realize that? I'm going to ask that question again. And when I say, do you realize that, I want everyone to answer yes, okay? Do you realize that when you go to witness to somebody, you may experience persecution? Yes. Let me tell you why. Because that's why we don't do it. That's the one reason we don't do it. It's probably the number one reason why we don't witness and share our faith with somebody else. Because we're scared. We're scared of what they might say, what they might do. I was watching, I tried to watch Charles Stanley this morning, but he wasn't on. His son Andy Stanley was on this morning. And he was speaking about this one thing. Speaking about boldness. I want to get into that here in a second. We don't witness because we're afraid of what that person might say. I don't witness to this man right here because if he's my friend, he might not be my friend anymore. Or I don't witness to this lady over here because if I do, she might laugh at me. Or I don't witness because of, and then there's always a fill in the blank. I won't do it because I don't do it. And it always has to deal with persecution of some sort. And persecution might be as simple as, well, the person that you witness to just disagrees with what you say. Or it could be all the way to the other extreme where we see and hear of some of our missionaries in foreign lands actually getting put to death because of their faith. I don't think we need to worry about being put to death here in America. But so often we fear the simplest things, that somebody's going to laugh at us. Somebody's not going to be our friend no more. Somebody might, whatever that may be. You know, last week when we had our prayer circle, Amber stood up here and she said this. This past week I was trying to witness to somebody and you know what, Mike? I need boldness. I need boldness. Amen, sister. We all need boldness. And that's what Andy Stanley was talking about this morning. We need boldness out there in this world because we are afraid of persecution. Even to its simplest form, that we don't witness or we don't do something or we don't pray when we're out at Applebee's because what are the people at the bar going to say if they see us holding hands and praying? My goodness, we don't want to give them some impression that we're some kind of religious nuts now, do we? Yes, we do. We do. And we need to have the boldness to go on out there and do it. Know this, when you go into an evangelistic encounter, chances are, and the Bible says this, chances are that the person that you are evangelizing to is not going to agree with you. Is that okay? Is that okay that if I want to talk with John Doe, that I go into that knowing and realizing that, you know what, there is a chance that he's not going to agree with what I say. But remember the words of Jesus. Jesus says this, remember this, if they hate you, they did what? They hated me first. They hated me first. In the bulletin this morning, I have a little story about a telephone conversation that I had just this past week. And let me just elaborate a little bit on that. I was filling an order, and I noticed that two of the line items on the order were the exact same item. And anytime that happens, I'm to call my customer and ask them, you know, is this correct or whatever. So I called the girl I pointed it out to her, and she said, let me look at it. She said, oh, thank you so much, Mike. And her exact words were, well, let's see, I have them listed here. She said, Mike, you saved my life. I couldn't help it. I had to do it. I had to say it. I said, you know, it was like the Holy Spirit pushing me from the back and saying, you got to go there, Mike. You got to go there. And I said, well, Jesus Christ saved my life. And then there's just this long pause, a silence on the other end of the phone. And then she said, well, thank you, Mike. You have a good day. And I said, have a good day, too. And I hung up. I don't know if that's persecution or not. That's not for me to decide. She may have gone off that phone thinking this. That guy's an idiot. I don't want to have any kind of religious conversation here. You know, he can keep his religious beliefs to himself. That might have been one avenue she decided to take. The other avenue might have been this. You know, I've heard that before. And maybe if he has Jesus in his life, maybe I need Jesus in mine too. I don't know which way that conversation is going to go. And it's not up to me to figure that out. It's just up to me to tell them. It's just up to me to say. It's just up to me to proclaim the truth. That certainly wasn't the full gospel message that we talked about a couple weeks ago with all these 10 different points. I didn't have that kind of an opportunity. But you know what I'm going to pray for? I'm going to pray for the time when her and I are in a conversation again and she says, Mike, could we talk a little bit more about what you said back there on such and such a date? I would say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. How much time do you got? How much time do you got? Persecution. When you go into an evangelistic encounter, know this, the person that you're going to talk to might not like what you have to say, but that's okay. We have the truth. The truth has set us free. We only want to share that with the other person. Let's do one more and then we'll end for the day. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and this is one that we've been spending some time on here also. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6. And actually, I'll read 5 and 6. And again, if you want to get a fuller insight on what these scriptures are saying, read, as we say, the 20-20 rule, 20 verses in front, 20 verses behind, to kind of get the whole context. I'm just pulling a certain verse out here. 1 Corinthians 3, I'm going to read verses 5 and 6. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. Now, this is going to be a pretty easy fill-in-the-blank here. We go into our efforts of evangelism understanding that we only plant and water. We do not make it grow. We do not make it grow. That's not our job. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. We only plant, we only water, we only share the gospel message. That's our part. We trust that God will do His part. However, we are human beings. And isn't there some occasion where we have this friend or family member that we would just like to take them by the neck and just wring them, just take them and just wring them. I should do Romy. That we would just like to take them and wring their neck and say, don't you get it? Don't you get it? Come on here. How simple can this be? I've outlined it. All you got to do is say that I trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I believe that the Father raised Him from the dead, and you repent of your sins. Come on. It was easy for me. What's wrong with you? It's not our job. It's not our job. As a matter of fact, I would, as your pastor, I would say, don't go there. You probably don't want to say that. We just plant. We just water. We just sow the seed. But so often we want to do everybody's job. We want to do everybody's job. I remember when I was working back at Genicom, there were three of us in the marketing department. There was myself, Bill, and Randy. Mike, me, I was responsible for all the technical integrity of whatever we did on our marketing pieces, whatever we sent out. Randy was in charge of all the graphics. He was our graphics art man. He did all the artwork. And Bill, he wrote all the copy. He made up whatever the piece was going to say. So I provided the technical expertise. Randy provided the artwork. Bill provided the copy, and the three of us worked great together as a team until one of us tried doing somebody else's job. Bill would always remind me, Mike, I'll do the writing. You just tell me the technical stuff to write. You write the web pages, and I'll tell you what to say on the web pages. And Bill and Randy would tell Bill, quit trying to design graphics. That's my job. I'll do that. And Mike would tell Randy, don't you go and try to get the technical information. That's my job. I'll do that. And you know, that team that we had there, the three of us, worked very, very well when each one of us did exactly what it was that we were gifted to do. And I think the same applies right here. Let's go on out and let's plant. And let's go on out and let's water. Because you never know, Dan Fields might have already been there planting. And then Teresa comes along and she waters. And then JL puts a little bit more on it. And then Glenn comes on and puts a little bit more on it. But it's none of our responsibility to make it grow. God does that. John chapter 3, it says the Spirit blows, the wind blows wherever it wants to blow. You don't know where it comes from, where it's going. So it's the same with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will act how the Spirit wants to act, according to God's will and His good pleasure. Jesus just expects us to do one thing. Tell people. Go on out there. So if I go on out there in my evangelistic endeavors or undertakings and I want to evangelize this man right here, I know one thing. I know you're safe, Phil. But I know one thing. I'm responsible for it. Just tell him. Just tell him the truth about the gospel message. And then you pray that God does His work and makes it grow. Makes it grow. Or maybe we pray that somebody else, Romy, comes along a little bit later and does a little bit more watering. And then Donna comes in a little bit later. And then Margie and then David and then Gail. And so, are we going to evangelize? Do we want to evangelize? Let me hear you say some amens out there, folks. Do we want to go out there and have people have what we have? Amen. That was a weak amen. Do we want people to go on out there and have what we have? Amen. We do. We do. But know this. First of all, it is a command. So I'm not saying this just because I'm the guy who has to go on out there and evangelize. So do you. We're all in this together. So it's a command. We don't make exceptions. Don't say, I don't want to evangelize this gal or this guy because I'd rather see them burn in hell. That's not a very good evangelistic approach. You have to say that we want all men to be saved, as God says in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We don't make exceptions. And know this, if we're going to go into an evangelistic encounter, there may be persecution. As a matter of fact, there probably will be persecution. There will be disagreement, and I don't know how that's going to pan out, but go into it knowing that, you know what, this is going to be a little bit difficult, but I have to do it, back to point number one, because it is a command. But isn't our job easy? We just tell them. God makes it grow. God does the work. That work. We just plant. We just water, we just sow. So, we got four more bullets. We're not going to cover those today. We'll cover those next week. As a matter of fact, the bulletin is going to look pretty similar next week to what it does this week. So you could probably even get ahead of me and see what those next four scripture verses are. You could probably have those blanks already filled in, and we'll talk about those next week. Because evangelism isn't an option. It's not a guideline. It's not a suggestion. It is something that we are commanded to do. So I hope this week, in some small sort of way, even if it's just a phone call, that you share your faith with somebody else this week. Let's go to God in prayer.